Social Security Administration pays state disability workers. That's federal dollars. And yet, state governments are laying these people off. So the SSA has proposed legislation to end this furlough practice. Here to help us sort it all out is Social Security Commissioner Michael Astrew. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Describe the problem. First of all, what gives states why are they doing this, do you think? And tell us how it works.
Well, it's puzzling to me. Like a lot of social welfare programs, we're structured as a federal-state partnership, but the state employees are entirely paid by us, including money for overhead, and they do solely our work. And so it's been puzzling to me. It started with Governor Schwarzenegger, and originally we thought it was just a one-off, where he decided, quote-unquote, fairness, decided that everybody had to suffer the pain, even though the state actually loses a little bit of money in tax receipts and that type of thing. And it certainly slows the processing of claims in the state, which also slows money going into the state. But more importantly, you know, you have people in desperate need who shouldn't be waiting any longer than they absolutely have to. But then it spread to other states, and so at any given point in time, in the last 18 months or so, we've had 10 to 15 states that have had some sort of furlough or other restriction on our ability to do our work, and it just doesn't make any sense at all.
So let me understand how this works. Do you then pay the state and the state sends the money to the worker, or do you pay the worker directly?
No, we pay the states. We reimburse the states. They're subject to state civil service rules and that type of thing, and it's a fully reimbursable arrangement.
So then would the state be pocketing that money from the federal government if they're furloughing the people that you're ostensibly reimbursing them for?
No, I mean, this is the silliness of it, is that we just cut off the funds. So they're just hurting themselves in bad economic times in two ways. Their employees are getting less money, less salary. They're paying less taxes, and people who should be getting disability benefits from the federal government are getting them more slowly, and they're tapping other state resources while they're waiting for a disability decision. It just makes no sense whatsoever.
Now, you say it started in California. How badly has it spread? How many states are doing this?
Well, it fluctuates, and just when you think that you've got a state in the right frame of mind, all of a sudden something changes and it pops up again. So it's been averaging about 10 to 15 states. The big problems have been California, Ohio, Wisconsin, Hawaii. We just averted disaster in several other states. New York was going to lay off several hundred workers, and we worked very closely with their congressional delegation to make sure that that didn't happen. So it's been, you know, a roller coaster all year long, and of course we're not terribly well set up to find out what's happening in state legislative budget discussions, but we've had to do that in order to try to cut these furloughs off early, because we found the earlier we get involved, the more success that we have.
Is this unusual historically? Have you ever experienced, or has the Social Security Administration ever experienced anything like this before? Certainly states have furloughed workers before.
Actually, not in any substantial degree before. I mean, this is unique, and this is why we were caught a little off guard originally, and we didn't think that when California did it, that it would become widespread across the country. But it has been, and it's been almost 2 years now, and it's time to do something. And, you know, there have been other alternatives proposed, including full federalization. That's an extremely expensive alternative, and I know Congress has looked at that. That's about $3.8 billion over 4 years and $2 billion in the second year. So this is a lower-cost alternative. I mean, basically uses the same philosophy that we've used with states to take highway money, saying if you take highway money, you know, you have to have certain speed limit rules and that type of thing. So they're accepting a very large amount of money from us. It seems quite reasonable to say that you can't basically impede our work without our approval, since we're paying the full freight.
We're speaking with Social Security Commissioner Michael Astrew. So is this the first time that Social Security has proposed legislation?
No, although this is the most significant piece of legislation we proposed in many years, certainly probably back at least to the Clinton administration. We send up, usually it's minor and technical amendments, and if you're you know, in a small group of people that's affected by one of those, it's important. But in terms of something that affects all the states, this many workers, this many people applying for benefits, this is the most significant piece of legislation we've sent up in quite some time.
When you mentioned full federalization, that gave me pause. I think it would give a lot of people a moment. What is that, exactly would that entail? You do explain that it is expensive, but what does that mean exactly, full federalization?
Well, what that means is that we would convert all the state employees to federal employees, and we'd be adding from, in terms of full-time equivalents, we're going from about 67,000 employees, 67,000 employees right now, taking on about another 16,000. There would be some administrative issues during the transition. It would probably interfere with work for several years, but it's also quite expensive. State civil service salary scales are quite a bit lower, lower than federal scales. And so that's where the cost comes from, and it's quite substantial. So I know that Congress has a tendency to look at it as either status quo or federalization, and I think what we've been saying is there's some intermediate steps that don't involve any cost to the federal government that can really clean this up much more surgically, and that's what we're trying to do.
And so right now you pay those state employees at the state rate that they would be paid as if they were state employees.
Yes, that's right. They are state employees. And so we reimburse what they're paid under state rules. And it does vary a bit from state to state. But overall, it's substantially lower than federal civil service salary scales.
What's that communication like between the federal government and the state governments that are doing this? And have they been receptive to your concerns?
It's been a mixed bag. You know, this is not something that commissioners have had to do before, which is pick up the phone and try to get through to governors and state legislators and state budget directors and make the case. And it's been a range. Some of the states have just refused to talk to us at a senior level. Governor Schwarzenegger, who used to be my client many years ago, has refused to talk to me. But most governors have talked to me. Most of them have been quite civil and pleasant, even if they haven't agreed with us. But we've had a couple testy conversations as well. I won't name specific governors. But, you know, we try to go to bat as aggressively as we can, both for our workers and for the members of the public that we're trying to serve here. And we do that with a fair amount of passion and intensity. So we have gotten on the nerves of a few governors.
And I imagine those might be in Ohio or Wisconsin maybe, but we're just guessing.
Not naming names here. I will say it's been a great frustration to me that Governor Schwarzenegger, who, as I said, I've worked with before, who fancies himself as a defender of the disabled, has been so unresponsive and so rigid and has hurt so many people in this country, not just in California, but by being a negative role model for other states around the country. He's been a real disappointment.
And finally, we've got about 20 seconds left. So I sense your disappointment. I sense your frustration. What's the next step? Now what happens?
Well, now that we've got the legislation through and it's an official administration-supported bill, we can start the hard work to rally congressional support. We may not have a vehicle this year. It depends on what they do in the lame duck session, but we want to be ready in case we have an opportunity. Probably more realistically, we're looking at one of the first vehicles early next year. And we think we're going to get a fair amount of support on this. There's been some attention from our committees of jurisdiction on this. We've gotten a fair amount of support for doing something along these lines, particularly from the Ways and Means Committee. And now we've got to turn that talk into actual action, and we've got a very good legislative staff, and they're going to be going up making the case and trying to get as many co-sponsors onto the bill as possible, try to get hearings scheduled, and try to move it along as quickly as we possibly can.
Social Security Commissioner Michael Astrew, thanks so much for joining us and for enlightening us. And if you don't mind, we invite you to come back and bring us up to date as this progresses.
No, I always enjoy being on the show, and I appreciate your helping us spread the word. It will help. It's a good thing, so we thank you.
Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.